Oh, what memories have been flooding across my mind, and to see so many familiar faces, so many friends, so many blessings, amen. And Brother Ross, thank you so much for inviting us to come and share in the joy of the 30th anniversary of God's blessings. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. We thank you for the wonderful accommodations, and it's certainly an honor to be here tonight to be with you. And I know the hour is late tonight, okay? But don't let that stop you, all right? It's not going to stop me. Don't let that stop you, okay? I only have one problem tonight. Everything that I was going to preach tonight, Jonathan Dunn preached. Amen. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
That was good. I feel like the Indian that on the reservation, that all they could communicate back and forth was with smoke signals. And he ventured out into the desert, and it just happened to be when the atomic bomb was being tested. And as the big mushroom cloud extended into the sky, he looked at it and says, "Boy, I wish I'd have said that." And it's kind of the way I feel tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jonathan, for preaching that wonderful message tonight. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Brother Ross, I think I know a little bit about, just a tiny bit, about what preachers talk about when they clip coupons. Amen? And I look around and the generations that are represented here tonight. God bless you folks. You've had a wonderful foundation. You have a wonderful preacher. There's not a better gracious preacher than your preacher here tonight. And you ought to thank God for him tonight. And make sure you take care of him. Amen? And you have a great foundation. And as Jonathan said, another 30 years. Amen? Another 30 years. This is just the start. And God has blessed wonderfully. And God will continue to bless as you're faithful to him. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brother Ross, I did not have this planned this way. Only God can do something like this, I guess. The note that you had written to us at the motel that you had signed at the bottom, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Honestly, I did not know when God impressed me to preach on this passage of Scripture, I did not know. Brother, is that your life's verse, Brother Ross?
Yes, sir.
I honestly did not know that. When I read that note at the motel this afternoon, I looked at that and I stared at it and I looked at it and I'm thinking, well, that's the text I was going to preach tonight. I had been praying about what God would have me to preach, and you wonder where to go. You know, you want to preach the whole Bible, and you can't. And God impressed me to preach on this subject. It happens to be 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So if you have that, let's stand together in honor of God's word tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And let's pray. Father, thank you again for an opportunity to stand before these dear folks. And dear Lord, we didn't come here tonight to impress each other. And Lord, you need to meet with us tonight. If we're going to be blessed, then Holy Spirit of God, you need to bless us. And Father, I pray that you'd bless in a special way. Move in the hearts and the lives and the minds of these dear folks tonight. Give us exactly what we need tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated if you will. In the average church tonight, you have a group of people. I'm talking about in the average church tonight. Their service for God is like a muscle twitch. It just, every once in a while, it happens, and they may do something for God. But that's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be a continuing people. 30 years of history, that's a good start. Amen. But it needs to continue. We need to be a continuing people. The Bible says steadfast. Be steadfast. In other words, fixed in direction, firm in purpose, unwavering, firmly established or firmly fixed in a place or position. That's what Jonathan preached on tonight. hold fast. Keep those things straight and continue those things that were established with the foundation that God established these 30 years ago. And I want to give you several things tonight, and I know the hour's late. And I tell you what, I'll preach fast if you listen fast. All right? Would that be all right? And we'll see how well we do. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 14, if you will. Acts chapter 14. I have an 18-minute message tonight. This is not it, but I do have an 18. I preached an 18-minute message one time. The rest that I have are significantly longer than that. And this is not that 18-minute message. But I'm going to do my best. Thank the Lord there's a clock back there, not a calendar. Amen. I have been accused of many things, and legitimately so, but I'm well aware of the time tonight, all right? I understand the time constraints, and so we're going to hasten on quickly. Acts chapter 14, look at verse number 19. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, look at it, to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this continuing in the faith is not talking about our personal faith, because you can't lose that. Once you get saved, you're always saved. Amen? You can't lose the faith that you put your faith and trust in Christ. He's talking about the creed or doctrine that you've been learned, that you've learned, that you've been taught. He says, continue in the faith. That's what we need to continue in tonight. In other words, there's a word of God tonight. This church was established on the word of God. We need to not only get in the Bible and find out what it says, but know why you believe what you believe. Amen? I like the, in Acts 17:11, it says the people of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They got in the word of God and they studied. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to get in the word of God and study. We need to continue in the faith. The faith. See, that's take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. Here's the reason why you and I need to study the Bible and know why we believe what we believe. There's a reason for that. This is just not an exercise in futility. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15, he says, but sanctify the Lord, Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm glad that when I started, when I got saved, 30 years ago next month. I'll be saved 30 years ago next month. I got saved at age 2. And nobody wants to give their rightful age, amen? I'm glad when I got saved and started studying the Word of God, started memorizing Scripture, that I memorized Scripture out of the old King James Bible. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to re-memorize Scripture every time a Bible of the Month came out. Amen? It ain't broke, don't fix it. It's not good grammar, it's good theology though, amen? Continue in the faith. In other words, know what you believe. Continue in the same faith that was established, just like the doctrine and the creed that was established. This church was established on the Word of God. And so continue in the faith. Now that, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. So what the Bible says, look at Colossians chapter 4. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. I hope you don't mind. Amen. Colossians chapter 4. Look at it. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Colossians 4 and verse number 2 says, continue in prayer and watching with the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. The Bible says we're supposed to continue in prayer. Now, prayers work. Amen? People that say that prayer isn't work, they haven't prayed much. The devil will fight you in your prayer life. He will send anything and everything in your path or in your life to keep you off your knees. Amen? The devil hates it when you pray. The devil hates a praying church. The Bible says continue in prayer. This church was established by prayer. Reaching the throne room of God. On the knees of devout Christians and servants of God, many of whom you've seen standing on this platform tonight. This church was bathed in prayer. From the very first service, this church was bathed in prayer. Amen. And there's an admonition here from the Word of God to continue in prayer. Amen. Don't think just because we've been saved now for 20, 30, 40, 50 years that we don't need to rely on prayer. We must rely on prayer. The Bible says continue in prayer. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, we're supposed to be praying all the time. Being an attitude of prayer continuously, and let God speak to your heart. Praying always. Luke 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, if you don't pray, you're going to faint. If you don't listen now, if you don't pray, you're going to faint. Now, you may not faint dead away physically, but you're going to faint on God spiritually. You'll be out of the battle if you don't continue in prayer. Continuing in prayer is one of the secrets of keeping yourself spiritually awake and alive for God. Continuing in prayer. We need to continue in the faith. Continuing in prayer. Continue your service for God. Yes. Amen? Yes. Continue your service for God. Many of you folks have been here years, decades. Some even from the beginning of the church. But continue your service. One of the blessings that I see in this church, and this church is not a normal church. Yeah, look around. You can tell that, right? I don't mean that. You knew that's where I was going, so I went to you ahead of time. But listen to me now. You have generations in this church that are a blessing. You've got grandpas and grandmas in this church. And children, and their children. And they're rearing their children in this church. And on it goes. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen? Continue in your service for God. I'm glad that Jonathan preached tonight. Amen? But not Grant. See, when we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, here's a place where you can bring your children, rear your children, where you're going to have the same preaching, the same Word of God, the same prayer, the same standards, the same everything that's always been. Isn't that a blessing? Continue in your service for God. You know, not everybody does that. There are some casualties along the way. Nobody wants to be a casualty. Nobody wants to be a statistic. But if we continue in our service for God, we won't have to do that. There's a man in the Bible named Demas who was a statistic. He was a casualty. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse number 9. Nobody wants to be a casualty. Here's how you can avoid being a casualty. Verse number 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul writes, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now, some people believe that Demas was not saved, that he just put on a facade of salvation. I don't know. I tend to believe from the Word of God in Philemon, verse number 24, talks about Demas being a fellow laborer with Paul. I believe that Demas was just as saved as you and I are saved. But I believe Demas had a problem. The Bible says he hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world.
Right.
You see, Demas saw something in this world that caught his eye. Now, don't mistake this. There is pleasure in sin. But it's only for a season. Only for a season. You see, all Satan's apples have worms. You know, it's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm. It's biting into an apple and finding half a worm. But all Satan's apples have worms. Everything that Satan has is just a facade. It looks good on the outside, but it's rotten on the inside. Demas saw something in this world that got his eyes off Christ. And whenever you get your eyes off Christ, you're in trouble. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we get our eyes off Jesus, get our eyes on the world, something bad's fixing to happen.
Amen?
Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You got to continue in your service for God. But Demas didn't do that. And the devil would love for nothing better than to have some of you folks here tonight when this church celebrates another anniversary for you to be out into the world. Wrecked and ruined. Have your lives ruined by the lies of Satan. He'd love nothing better than that. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. You know there's a love that God hates? Here it is. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Stick by the stuff, amen?
Amen.
Just continue in your service for God. I look around tonight. I see many workers tonight. Many workers tonight. This church is blessed with an abundance of people who volunteered and said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I. I want a job to do, God. If there's something to do, I want to do it. You are blessed tonight because you've had a tender heart and a tender spirit to the things of God. And you're workers. Some of you worked in the bus ministry for decades. Some of you have worked in Sunday school as a Sunday school teacher for decades. And that's wonderful. But continue your service on for God. Don't give up. Don't let up. It's not time to let. Our rest isn't here anyway. Amen. Our rest is in heaven one day. We'll get to prop our feet up if that's the possible thing to accomplish when we get to heaven. But that's not our rest here. Our rest is in heaven one day. Continue your service for God. Let me hasten quickly. Matthew chapter 26. We're supposed to continue in watchfulness. Continue in watchfulness. Look at Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus was meeting with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was late into the night, yea, into the early evening hours. I don't know about you, but when it gets late, I get tired. Amen? The older I get, the tireder I get, the earlier I get tired. Amen? I don't know why it is, but it just works that way. But here, Jesus was meeting with the disciples late into the night, actually early into the early wee hours of the morning. And verse number 36, Matthew 26, verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Don't you like the southern hospitality in the Bible? Even Paul said, I pray for y'all. Amen. It's wonderful. See, I think they probably lived on the south part of Jerusalem there. But it says, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. You didn't even know yonder was a Bible term, did you? You just thought that was just a southern slang. Verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, of course, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Here's the key. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anytime you try to do work for God, your flesh is going to say, I can't do it. I'm too weak. It's time to get out of bed. Sunday morning. You said, all right. And mind says, okay, body, get out of bed. And body says, I don't want to get out of bed. I like it under these covers. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Time to pray. The mind says, okay, body, let's pray. Body says, I'm tired. I worked hard all week. I don't think I can pray. Spirit says, time to read the Bible. Body says, I'm tired. What is the problem? Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. He went again with away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Watch and pray. Continue in this matter of watchfulness. Watch and pray. Just like the Old Testament Christians, Nehemiah and all the workers that built the walls of Jerusalem. In one hand, they held a trowel. In the other hand, they held a sword. Watch and pray. Amen. Do work for God. But be watchful, because the devil is lurking. He's waiting to see who he can trip up. Watch and pray, the Bible says. Then continue in thankfulness. Continue in thankfulness. You know, we live in a very ungrateful, selfish society. Continue in thankfulness. You know, being self-centered makes everything personal. I, me, my. And then when something happens, God, why did you do that to me? How come I was affected? God, you're not fair to me. Being self-centered will turn your heart away from God. But thankfulness to God will cause you to have an admiration for God. And thanking him for everything. In all things, everything give thanks. The Bible says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know what the will of God is for my life. I'm supposed to be thankful for everything. Now that's easy to preach, but it's tough to live. Be thankful for everything. I kind of adopted a little motto years ago. It's kind of like my own little proverb. And it goes like this: happy is the man who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. Amen? That's the way our attitude to God should be. There's nothing we deserve. There's nothing we merit. There's absolutely nothing, no reason why God should bless any of us. The only thing we deserve is an eternity in hell. That's the only thing we deserve. But when we're thankful to God, it'll draw us close to him. And anything that God does for us, we'll be appreciative of it. And we'll go to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you even for the little things. Because the little things are big things in God's eyes. All the blessings of God are big blessings. Amen. We may take him in a little way, but all God's blessings are big blessings. And he wants us to thank him for it. Be thankful. continue in this matter of thankfulness. And then continue in love. Continue in love. That's what John 15:9 says. Jesus said, continue ye in my love. Now, does that mean that God will someday quit loving us? Oh, no. No, he loves us in spite of us. Amen. He doesn't love us because we deserve it. He doesn't love us because we're somebody. And God is blessed because we're on his side. Amen. The Bible says, continue ye in my love, Jesus said. In other words, that means stay close to Jesus. He doesn't leave us, we leave him. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. He'll never leave us. But when we find ourselves away from God, it's not God that moved. It's us. Stay close to the spot where the glory comes out. Stay close to Jesus. Amen. Continue ye in my love. Take your Bibles, turn one more time to Jude verse 21. Jude verse 21. Jude verse 21. Jude verse 21. Look at it. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look at it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That means keep yourself close to where God can bless you. Don't get out from under the umbrella of God's love. You see, there are people, and you know people, and I know people, who we talked about earlier, they're statistics. They're casualties. They've gone by the wayside. Somewhere along the line, they said, God, I don't want to stay under the umbrella of your protection and your love. I want to forge my own path. I can do my own thing. And they got out from under the umbrella of God's protection. And they ended up on a dead-end road. And they ended up wrecking and ruining in their lives. Why? Because they didn't stay close to the umbrella that Jesus protects us with his love. Continue ye in my love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay close to the spout where the glory runs out. Just stay close to Jesus. Don't get away from that place. When you find the place where God is using you and God is blessing you, then just stay there. Amen. Stay there.
That's right.
Mama didn't raise no dumb boys. She raised some ugly ones, but not any dumb ones. When I get blessed, I like getting blessed. And if you like getting blessed, then when we do those things that causes God to bless us, that's exciting. I want those things to continue. I want those things to be perpetuated in my life.
Yes.
And in order to do that, I got to keep doing what I did to get the blessings. And that's continuing to stay close to Jesus. Just keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a reason why this church has been blessed.
Amen.
There's a reason. It's not tough to figure out. It's not tough to put your finger on it. And say, I just can't understand this. Well, there are some things we just won't understand about God's blessings. I understand that. But there's a reason why God blesses. We just continue to do those things that causes God to bless us over and over and over again. It makes concentric circles. The more obedient you are, the more God blesses. And the more God blesses, the more obedient you want to be. And the more obedient you are, the more God blesses. And the blessings just getting better and better and better and better.
Yes, it does.
We serve a wonderful God.
Yes.
The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything we do, we're going to get blessings for it.
Amen.
I don't believe for a second that God will be a debtor to us. Amen. There's not an act of obedience that you or I can perform that does not have a corresponding blessing.
Sure.
Nothing we do for God will be overlooked. Your labor is not in vain. The more you serve, the more God blesses. He blesses not only here, but He'll bless up there. If all we had to look forward to was getting to heaven one day, that'd be worth it. Everything we do would be worth it. But God says, I'm not only going to prepare a place in heaven for you one day, but He says, I'm going to bless you along the way. Every day that goes by, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, He daily loadeth us with benefits and blessings. Every day that goes by, He can bless us. There's only one criteria. Only one prerequisite. We got to do right. As long as we do right, God will take care of His end of the bargain. And He'll bless us. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just for 30 years.
That's right.
Let's work for another 30.
Amen.
Amen. And then another 30.
Amen.
Now some of us have to live to be 186, but that's all right. Just keep doing what God told you to do. Amen.